Well, we're continuing in Jeremiah, a kingdom broken to be rebuilt. I'm not sure whether it was what jumped out for you from the passage, but the title for the talk is Love Always Perseveres. Hopefully why that is the title will become a little bit clearer. We actually believe in a God who never, ever, 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 ever gives up on you. He's for you, he's not against you, and he is that way till the end. So we're going to have a bit of a think about that. Before we do that, there is a great proverb in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The way of a fool seems right to them. The fool believes that the way they are approaching something, the way they are living life, the way they are responding to something is correct. They don't believe that there could be a way of approaching or responding than or living life than they are already doing. Often fools are younger people. It's as we experience life and realize that we didn't actually approach it well, we didn't respond to it well, we didn't live life as good as we could have, that we realize that we've been fools, that there was actually a better way to do it. The longer we live, I think the more times we learn that lesson, hopefully. The wise, however, listen to advice. The wise realize there could be a better way. And so when I said before that I'd love some feedback, it's a biblical approach. It's a biblical attitude. And some of you I've shared this with before. I believe I've shared this with the elders. One of my favorite authors, Henry Cloud, actually picks out from the book of Proverbs that there's three types of people. There is the wise person. The wise person listens to the truth and adjusts themselves to the truth. If you give them the truth, they thank you for a gift. And when you give them the truth, you receive a smiling face. Sometimes it's difficult to be wise, and maybe the face doesn't smile initially very much, but it smiles more as they realize that they've been given a gift. A foolish person is somebody who, when you give them the truth, you get a sad face or even an angry face. Instead of adjusting themselves to the truth, they endeavor to adjust the truth to them. That's the difference between the wise and the foolish. Henry Cloud also points out that there is somebody called the evil person. And he just says, the evil person stay away from because they just want to hurt you. And there's these three main categories. And Henry Cloud makes sure that we all realize that each one of us has an element of all three of those things within us. We're all wise and foolish and evil to some degree. He just says that some people make a career out of just one. And so this morning, I want us to start with that, just picture that in mind. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. And the reason for starting with that is because my first point is that we believe in a God who speaks. And in verse 2, we see this. He speaks truth to Jeremiah to speak truth to his people. And as we've gotten to this chapter now, in chapter 36... God has spoken a lot of truth to Jeremiah, and the result has been that they've plotted against Jeremiah, they've arrested Jeremiah, and now it would appear that his movements are restricted. And so in verse 2, God is still speaking. He says, take a scroll, write on it all the words I've spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now. He said, I've given you a lot of truth. They haven't liked it. Let's give it to them again. That can be frustrating, can't it? There's some people who have said to Scott Morrison, don't do that, don't say that, change this. And he hasn't listened. I'm not saying he should have. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying either way. I'm just saying that's the reality of leadership. Is that we can feed back things to leaders, we can ignore what they say, and when they just insist on coming back again with the same thing, again and again, it really does depend whether they're coming at us with good things or not, doesn't it? As to whether or not our response to that is wise or foolish. Verses 5 to 6, Jeremiah, in response to this, says, well, I'm restricted. Remember, he had been arrested. He has not able to move freely. He says, I'm not allowed to go to the Lord's temple. And so he's talking to Baruch, or however we want to say his name. And he says, you know, you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. The idea being, and this was the strange thing about God's people, they were still observing some of the things. They were still observing the temple worship. Remember, way back at the beginning of Jeremiah, we talked about how God, one of his issues with them was they said, you know, we've got the temple will save us. They're actually still doing temple activities. And so on a day of fasting, if you want to communicate to all of the people, then on a day of fasting, you'll find people will have come to the temple. They'll have come there to observe religious practices. And so Jeremiah says to Baruch, you go then and you can read it to all of them. It's going to be a good day to do that. There'll be lots of people there. Now look what happens as a result. We've got a number of opportunities here. Baruch reads it to the people. Then there's a whole bunch of people, the son of, the son of, the son of, which Colin read so beautifully for us, who then also wanted to hear it. And then they eventually, it gets to the king. And in verse 15, there is this response to this God who speaks. Some of them say, sit down, please, and read it to us. Wise or foolish response? Wise response. Jeremiah, maybe you've got some truth from God here. Read it to us. Sit down. Let's take some time to digest this. We're going to put our things to one side here, and we're going to sit down with you, and you can read this to us. Verse 16, when they actually hear the words, it says, when they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear, because they adjusted themselves to the truth. They didn't take the truth and try and adjust it to them. They adjusted themselves and they realized we have not been living the way God wants us to live. We have not been responding to Him appropriately. And so they looked at each other in fear. But this God who speaks, not everybody who hears responds appropriately. When Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king of all people, the king of God's people, Jehoiakim, cuts off with a scribe's knife after he's read three or four columns. He'd cut off from the scroll those bits of paper and he would put it in the fire and burn it. One of the things that really strikes me about this is that Jehoiakim didn't just take the scroll without reading it and say, I don't want to know what God wants from me, and put it in the fire. He actually stands there and says, I'll hear what God says, and then I will destroy it anyway. What does he do? Is it a wise or a foolish response? Do you notice what he's doing? He is adjusting the truth to himself. I don't like this truth, so I will burn it so I can be and remain who I am. It's the wrong way around. It's a foolish response, not a wise response. We believe in a God who speaks. Since the day we were born, in fact, I think Scripture suggests even before the day that we were born, God loves us and has this desire to know us and for us to know Him. That we'd be in a relationship with Him, that we'd be connected to Him in a loving and intimate way. And so He speaks. That's just one of the basic things, isn't it, for a good, healthy relationship, is that there's communication in some way. My relationship with you and yours with me is always going to be better if I tell you what it is that I need at points. It's going to be better if you tell me where I've hurt you or let you down. It's going to be better where I tell you what it is that you might have done that has upset me. So we can talk these things through. Communication is important. That's what God is doing here with His people. It's what He's been doing since chapter 1. We've come to this real turning point, haven't we? When the king of His people just burns His words. He's the God who speaks, but he's also the God, and we need to hold these things together, who seeks our good, which Jehoiakim seems to miss. In verse 7, we hear the words of God where he says, perhaps they will bring their petition to the Lord and will each turn from their wicked ways. There's a reason for this speaking. Like I said, this is what good relationships are made of. You are hurting me with your behavior. Can you stop? It's not appropriate. You're hurting yourselves. Can you stop? It's not appropriate. You're hurting those around you. Can you stop? And so God speaks for good. Now, the interesting thing is, if you were to read on past chapter 36, and I would have loved to have had Colin read more for you this morning, and if you've got the time, if you haven't done so already, reading through these few chapters here in Jeremiah, I found really interesting and intriguing. And one of the things that you'd learn if you read on is that God doesn't give up. Do you remember Moses comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments? And you remember God's people, they've got a golden calf and they're doing silly things. And so what does Moses do with those Ten Commandments? He has a little bit of a tantrum on the behalf of God, and he throws them down, doesn't he? He breaks them. Do you remember what God does? He writes out another set for him. And here we have God's words given to the king, and the king burns them. Anyone want to guess what God does next? He dictates it all again. And it all gets written out again. And we start again. God doesn't give up. The truth does not go away. And what we find is that the king after Jehoiakim is King Zedekiah. And in chapter 37, verse 3, the wise Zedekiah listens to advice. And so he says to Jeremiah, please pray to the Lord, our God, for us. Instead of burning the message, he says, please pray for us. Please bring us, represent us before God. Speak well on our behalf. In verse 17 of chapter 37, he says to Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? In other words, no word has come. And so he comes to Jeremiah saying, asking, is there any word from the Lord? This is what a wise person does. They're seeking out the truth. See, a wise person doesn't just respond well to the truth. They seek the truth. And in chapter 38, verse 14, he says, I'm going to ask you something. He's talking to Jeremiah. Do not hide anything from me. That is somebody seeking the truth. How often does a king say to somebody, or if you like nursery rhymes and fairy tales, does somebody say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the prettiest of them all? You shouldn't ask a mirror that if you're not prepared for the truth. That mirror was truthful. It's not you. This king Zedekiah says, I'm going to ask you something, and listen to the hunger for truth. Do not hide anything from me. Tell me where I fall short. I want to grow. I want to be the king that God wants for his people. And just note for a second, when King Jehoiakim burns that scroll, he's actually urged not to, isn't he? As Colin read for us, he's urged, don't burn, and yet he burns it still. And yet as he does that, it means that all the people in that kingdom, so many of them are lost from the truth because of what he does. But Zedekiah, he seeks the truth, and there's an opportunity there as a good, wise king that something good might come of this. He's the God who seeks our good. In chapter 35, verse 17, before this, we're reminded that God has again and again brought the truth to his people. He says, I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. The result is that ultimately the wise listen, the foolish do not. And in this world, as I said, we've all got a bit of wise in us. We've all got a bit of foolish in us. But also this world is full of people who make wisdom their career. Some make foolishness their career. So the wise listen, the foolish do not. The wise want truth, the foolish do not. But God speaks for our good. And the question for us this morning is, will we listen? And this brings me to my third and final point, and that is this idea of listening to God. And for a second, I want to ask you this morning, because this is something that I think there's been a lot of controversy in the Christian world about, is how it is that we actually listen to God. And I'd ask you, how do you listen to God and what he says to you? How do you allow the truth that God would speak enter into your life? Well, there's a few different ways that I guess are reasonably standard in the Christian world or understood in the church, and that is that we do that through Scripture. We're looking at Scripture this morning, trying to see the truth that is in that and adjust ourselves, I hope, to that truth. Do we respond to God's words in a wise way or a foolish way? And we're using Scripture to think about that this morning. The next thing I've got on that list is others. Sometimes we find that God speaks to us through other people. If he does, it's not going to go against what Scripture says. But I also find that sometimes Scripture doesn't give me details specifically to what God would have me do or say to me. And sometimes he uses other people. I'll never forget one time in my life. I was at university, and in university it can be quite confusing, can't it? If you're a Christian in a secular university, it can be quite difficult at times. And I had a friend who was a Christian friend. I'm just going to embarrass myself here, so please excuse me and forgive me and don't think too badly of me. But I was living this life where I had Christian friends at uni, and with them I was a Christian, and then outside of being with them I was not a Christian. I was looking and sounding like any other university student. And a Christian friend of mine had picked up on this, and he decided to very lovingly give me a little bit of advice. And I say lovingly because I think he tried to do it in a way that I would hear, and I did hear it, so I'm very thankful to him. I was walking with him to my car. I was going to give him a lift, and he was in front of me walking along this track between two of the ovals, heading towards Royal RPA Hospital. And he sort of turned around and just paused as he was walking, and he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you, Dave?" And I said, "Yeah." And I thought, "You know that." And he just said, "So why do you swear so much?" And just kept walking. Didn't wait for the answer. wasn't looking at me, so it wasn't like his eyes were bearing down on me. He gave me space to think about that. He gave me every opportunity to respond to that wisely. I never actually responded vocally to him. But the truth he gave me, there's this way that they respond in, like it actually says that when this was read to the king and the officials, they didn't tear their clothes. Well, what's that about? Because tearing your clothes is when you are torn to the heart about something, where you realize just how broken you are. And the tearing of the clothes was like this expression of that. You're just tearing your clothes, you know, this idea that you are so broken, that you, and there's just this anguish in that act. It's an embarrassing thing to tear your clothes in front of people, but when you're rocked to the core. And so there's this part of me that, as he said that, so why do you swear so much? And just kept walking. I felt like tearing my clothes. So how do you listen? Sometimes through Scripture, sometimes through others. We've talked about silence and stillness, giving God space to speak to us and making the things of the world grow quiet so that we can hear his voice. Another is through creation. Sometimes the church has minimized the positive effects of creation and the way that creation speaks to us as to who God is. And of course, sometimes through circumstances. And we looked at that a bit last week, didn't we? The way that somehow the way of transformation and being changed is through great suffering as well as great love. But I want to ask a question that I guess tweaks a little bit of what I've been saying. I've been talking about the God who speaks and about listening to God. That's communication, isn't it? And communication is key to a relationship, but what is ultimately the aim of communication? It's not communication itself, is it? The reason we communicate, I hope, is that we might have communion. The reason for communicating is so that two souls can grow closer to each other. The reason to communicate is to be able to move the things out of the way that might stop two souls coming together in intimate union. And so I want us to think about what we're doing here and what it is that God might be saying to us as we come to communion. That indeed whatever God is saying is for a purpose. It's for an end that is greater than communication. And I think the wise person understands this. The reason to listen is not just to learn something new. The reason to listen is because of a better life, a better relationship, a better love. God's not going to give up on his people. Even though last week it looked like he was, we learned that he never gives up on his people. And he's going to make a new scroll. And ultimately, when that doesn't work, he's going to send his son, Jesus, to die that we might live. And so I want to encourage you as you endeavor to listen to God. In James, it doesn't say, if you listen to God, he will speak to you. It actually says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And God speaking is a means, it's a part of how it is that he draws close to us. So as we come to the table, I want to encourage you this morning. What is God saying this morning? As we look at this idea of his body being broken and his blood being shed, what is he saying to us? What is he communicating? What is the relationship that he is inviting us into as he communicates? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not give up on us. We thank you for your love that knows no end. And we thank you for John's description of you that you are love. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be wise. Help us to listen for you and for your words and what it is that you might be saying to us. And Lord, as we come to this table soon, Lord, help us to be able to be still and to be quiet and to listen. What is it that we need to hear this morning? Do we need to hear that we are forgiven? Do we need to hear that we are loved? Do we need to hear that you are well pleased with us? Do we need to hear that there's something that maybe we need to stop? Do we need to hear about an attitude or a habit that we need to stop? Lord, help us to be wise, help us to be humble, and help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.